if you have your Bibles today, you can be turning to Luke chapter 2. It's almost Christmas. What is it, 9 days? I'm going to preach out of probably one of the most well-known Christmas passages in all the Word of God, and that's in Luke chapter number 2. And I'll read verses 1 through 7. Luke chapter number 2, 1 through 7. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that the world should be taxed. And this taxing was made with Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee and out of the city of Nazareth in Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was from the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife." And the Bible says that she was great with child. "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should deliver. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because the Bible says there was no room for them in the inn." I want to speak to you this morning on this topic: don't miss Jesus this Christmas. The Bible says there in verse 7 that there were no room for him in the inn. Don't want you to miss Christmas. I don't want to miss Christmas. Don't want you to miss Christmas. Don't want you to miss the reason for the season, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We read about a man that did that very same thing here in Luke chapter number 2. This man, name's not recorded, but he did what a lot of people do at Christmas. He missed out on the opportunity to get to see the Lord Jesus Christ. I couldn't help but think about it. Jesus was there. The innkeeper just simply refused to make room for him. And I got to thinking about that innkeeper. It reminds me of a lot of folks in our society today. You think about it, they have room for everything else in the world. They have room for pleasure. They have room for possessions. They have room for parties. But they don't have room for the Lord Jesus. And I just want to say this morning, don't miss Jesus this Christmas. Don't get so busy that you crowd out the Lord Jesus Christ. I got to thinking as I studied this, I wonder who the innkeeper was. You ever thought about it? He's not mentioned by name in the Bible, nor is he ever mentioned again. And I just got to thinking about it. Surely, as Jesus was born and as he grew, this innkeeper surely had to hear about some of the miracles that Jesus performed. Maybe, just maybe, he might even heard him speak. I wondered as I studied this, I wonder if the innkeeper had any regrets. I'm sure he did. I would have, if I'd have been the innkeeper and Joseph and Mary came to me and Mary was great with child and I didn't give them a room, I'm sure he probably said to himself thousands of times, I could have brought him into my place and given him my room, but I missed that opportunity. I just wonder if he ever thought about it. And by the way, the place where Jesus was born is visited by millions of people every year. Just think about it. If that innkeeper would have let Joseph and Mary have a place where Mary could have that baby, that place would be famous today. I had the opportunity to go to Israel and go to the place. Did you get it? Go to the place where Jesus was born. That's it. It's a beautiful, beautiful church. It's an old building. If you go in my office, you can see the church built over that spot. But they say that is the exact spot that the Lord Jesus was born. It was a cave. And that church is remarkable because there's only one way in. One way in, one way out. And it reminds me of Jesus saying he's one. He's the only way to heaven. And you have to, I remember having to bend over to get in that door, even as short as I am, had to bend over to get through that door. And the Bible talks about the way is narrow and straight. But that is the exact place where they say Jesus was, that's an ugly rascal, isn't it? But that's the exact place that they say Jesus was born. The Bible tells us in verse 5 that Mary was great with child. In verse 7, tells us that she delivered this child. She brought forth this child. And I just want to say this morning that it wasn't no ordinary child, was it? No, this child was the Son of God. He was the Messiah, the Emmanuel, meaning God with us, God in the flesh. And how we find Mary, who was about to give birth to her firstborn son, and they were traveling, get this now, by donkey from Jerusalem all the way to Bethlehem, which was about 6 miles, and they had no doctor with them. They had no family members with them, not even a midwife. It was probably an awful condition. And then to reach the inn and to be told by the innkeeper that there wasn't any room available. You know what I thought of? This just me, but the truth is there was at least one room available, his room. I mean, who wouldn't? Is there anybody in this room that wouldn't give their room up to some lady that was pregnant with a child, getting ready to give birth? I mean, he could have given up his room, but the Bible says there in verse 7, no room. No room, no vacancy. Reminded me when I was studying this, when Sharon and I got married, we went to Pigeon Forge on our honeymoon. We were young. I was 18. She was 17. We were in love, and we had a little money in our pocket, had a little jingle in our pocket because people had given us money as a wedding gift, and we were young. We didn't think about reservations. We didn't know anything about reservations. And this was June the 28th, 1981. We didn't think about such as that. And when we got to Pigeon Forge, it wasn't like it is now, but it was growing. And every motel we passed, our hotel we passed, had a sign on it that said, no vacancy, no vacancy. I said, Sharon, we'll drive a little bit further. And we drove, and it was no vacancy, no vacancy. And I finally found one that said one room left. And I went in and told them I wanted that room. And guess what? It was a honeymoon suite. And guess how much money it was? $67 and some change. And listen, this was 1981. I mean, you could get a room, a nice room, for about $19, for about $20. They wanted $67 and some change for a room. And I said, no, thank you, sir. I'll drive further. Guess what? In about an hour, we was back. Because there wasn't no room. And I paid $67 for a room in 1981. Guess what? It kind of ruined the rest of our honeymoon. We didn't have any more money. We had to cut it short, didn't we? We came back home a little early. But we finally got a room. Joseph and Mary and little baby Jesus couldn't find a room. But I want to say we should always, always, always make room for Jesus. No matter what. We should make room for Jesus. I thought about three things this morning, and then we'll be gone. My first point is this. The innkeeper, I don't believe, was looking for Jesus. I don't believe he was looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why that innkeeper missed out on having the Lord being born right there in his inn. He wasn't looking for him. I had to ask myself, Buckshot, are you looking for Jesus? Are you spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer and in Bible study, in his word? Do you know what he was looking for? Now, this is what I think the innkeeper was looking for. What most people, what most businesses is looking for in South Carolina this Christmas season. Money and wealth. Verse 2, listen to what the Bible says. Verse 2 said there was a census going on, a taxing taking place. And verse 3, the Bible says they all went to be taxed. Everybody to his own country. The songwriter wrote this song, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." Let me tell you something. It was a little town. It still is a little town, but it wasn't little that night because people from all over the place were coming in to be taxed. And if you were an innkeeper, all you could think about was those people coming to pay their taxes, and they were going to have a place to stay, and that meant that the innkeepers would have a little bit more money in his pocket. I couldn't help but think about this. The only Christmas bell the innkeeper was thinking about was when he was mashing those little numbers on that cash register when it was singing, ring, 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 ring. I believe this innkeeper was more interested in filling his pocket with gold than he was filling his heart with God. And I couldn't help but think about, what about us this Christmas? Are we going to make room for Jesus this Christmas? Or are you going to miss him like the innkeeper did? Listen to me. Don't miss Jesus this Christmas. Don't forget about Jesus. Don't stand in all those lines to see Santa Claus when there's no line to see Jesus. Make time for Jesus this year. Christmas is all about the birth of our Savior. Don't forget, amen? I couldn't help but think about, I was at the senior center Tuesday, I think, a week ago, and doing a little devotion. I enjoyed that so much. Get some good dinner, and it's free. They let me have it free for speaking. And I just enjoy hanging out down there, and I guess the reason I enjoy hanging out down there so much is I'm that age. I could really join. I know it's hard to think about, but I told this story. It kind of goes along with the message, but there was a couple in their 90s that were having some problems with short-term memory. And they went to the doctor, and while they were in there for a checkup, the doctor said, both of you physically are fine. But since you're having trouble remembering things, you might ought to write it down. Just always have a pen and paper and just write down things. Later on that evening, they were sitting and watching TV, and the husband gets up, starts heading to the kitchen, and he said, honey, would you like me to get you something? And the wife said, yeah, you can bring me some vanilla ice cream. He said, okay, and he started walking off, and the wife said, shouldn't you write that down? He said, no, I can remember that. Vanilla ice cream. She said, well, then put a little strawberry on it. So he said, okay, and he went to walk into the kitchen. She said, honey, you want me to write that down? He said, no, I can remember that. Vanilla ice cream and a few strawberries on the top. He said, I got it. So he just started walking into the kitchen, and she said, well, honey, put a little bit of chocolate syrup on it as well. So he said, okay. And honey said, the wife said, you want me to write that down? He said, no, I got it. You want some vanilla ice cream? Put a little strawberries on top of it and some syrup. Well, the husband just walked off into the kitchen. He was getting a little upset, and he walked off into the kitchen. About 30 minutes later, he came back with a plate of grits and eggs and ham. Grits, egg, and ham. And the wife said, honey, I told you should have wrote it down. You forgot my toast. Oh. But let me get back to the story. The innkeeper just missed out on the Messiah. It was written down in the book of Micah that the baby would be born in Bethlehem. And he just missed out because he wasn't looking for him. And that's the same reason so many people miss out on him at Christmas time, is because we're not looking for Jesus. Man, greatest story ever told is the gospel. Jesus died, was born a virgin, died, and rose again. And it's written down. And it's the greatest story ever told. He wasn't looking for Jesus. But I noticed number two. Not only was he not looking for Jesus, but this innkeeper, he didn't recognize Jesus. He didn't recognize who it was that Mary was fixing to deliver. Can't you just imagine this? I thought about this. Can't you imagine Joseph walking up to the desk there at the inn saying, "Sir, my wife," and it's not just my wife, but it's Mary. And the Bible says she's been highly favored, and she's with child by the Holy Spirit of God. And she's going to deliver a child, and that child's going to be none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. My wife's fixing to have a baby, and she's greatly pregnant. Her labor pains have started. "Sir, please, please, we need a room. We'll take any room. We'll take a smoking room. It doesn't matter. We just need a room." And then the innkeeper looks outside and he sees Mary. There's Mary out there on the donkey. And she's great with child. And he's seen her, but that's all he's seen. He just seen a lady that was pregnant. He didn't recognize that this was Mary that was handpicked by God, highly favored to deliver the Savior of the world. He didn't recognize who Jesus was. And I couldn't help but think about it today. So many times we don't recognize the Lord Jesus. We come to church and we sit in a pew and nothing ever happens, just same old, same old. But listen, we need to be prayed up and ready to, when we come to church, that we recognize when Jesus does something spectacular. This innkeeper didn't recognize Jesus. You know why some people come to this place every Sunday for worship and miss Jesus? Because they don't expect to see Jesus. I wonder, when you come here, do you expect something wonderful to happen? I mean, they were expecting some religious folks. Hey, listen, some religious folks were there that day. They were expecting some religious folks to be there. But I got to thinking about this. You know, Christianity's not about a feeling. Some people say, "Well, I got goosebumps at church today." Listen, I get goosebumps listening to Hank Williams Jr. sing "Country Boy Can Survive." I do. It's not about a feeling. It's about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about a one-on-one. You don't get saved because your daddy was saved. You don't get saved because someone, you were raised up in a church or you've been baptized. You get saved when you make a decision one-on-one and get before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "God, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I ask you to come into my life and forgive me of my sins and make me a brand new person." The Bible says it's when you get born again. It's not about a feeling. It's about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. I think about the first Christmas day. Don't you think for a second that religious crowd wasn't there? And they were anticipating the arrival of a Messiah. They were looking for a Messiah, but they wasn't looking for a baby being born in a manger. There was an anticipation, but when Jesus came, they didn't recognize him as the Messiah. Isn't that sad? One of the saddest verses in the Bible is John 1:11, where the Bible says he came to his own and his own received him not. His own people missed out on the Messiah. I had to ask myself this question this week. Have you made room for Jesus this Christmas? Have you? I hear, well, let me just put it, though, Charles hit the nail on the head when he said this is Christmas time. We need to have the Christmas spirit. Let me tell you what we need, Brother Charles. We need the Holy Spirit in us. Amen? You get the Holy Spirit in you, you'll have the Christmas spirit. You get full of the Holy Spirit and see if that don't put a smile on your face. Amen, preacher. I'm going to move on. Hey, the Bible says that. The Bible says don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. The innkeeper didn't recognize. He wasn't looking for Jesus. He didn't recognize Jesus when he saw him. But number three, this is it. The innkeeper didn't think he needed Jesus. Oh, I know a lot of people like that. They don't think they need the Lord. You know why that innkeeper didn't make room for Jesus that night? Plain and simple, he didn't need him. His place was full. No vacancy. He didn't need the Lord Jesus. His pockets were full. All was well. He had fame, fortune, fun. Full. No vacancy. Friend, anybody who wants Jesus can have him. Anybody who wants to be saved can be saved. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's not willing, the Bible says, for anybody to come to die. He's not willing for anybody to be damned. The Bible says, whosoever, that's anybody. The tragedy this Christmas is that a lot of people would just rather have their favorite sin than to have Jesus. That's not popular, but it's so true. They're afraid they're going to miss out on something if they give their heart to Jesus. They would rather get high than be highly favored. They'd rather have their bud than to be born again. They'd rather party than pray. They would rather get their gifts than get the gift of salvation that keeps on giving. They'd rather sleep in than step up and be faithful to the house of God. They'd rather have their physical needs met more than their spiritual needs met. May I say this? The greatest need you have today is your spiritual need. Your spiritual need. That innkeeper didn't seem to need him. I don't know about you, but I need him. I need him. He's the one that controls this thing called a heart that's about as big as my fist. He controls every beat. Just one beat, and I'm gone. And he controls it. It's him. He holds this world together. It's like the song says, I can't even walk without him holding my hand. I need him. And so do you. The truth is, some folks don't want Jesus because they're not willing to pay the price. One day the rich young ruler came to Jesus, and this is what he asked, Sir, what must I do to be saved? Listen to what Jesus said. The one thing standing in your way. Listen to what Jesus told him. He says, your possessions possess you. Think about that. Your possessions possess you. He had riches, which is okay. Nothing wrong with riches as long as the riches don't have you. His possessions possessed him. He didn't want to lose his possessions, so he went away. And the rich young ruler walked away sorrowful. You see, rather than possessions having possessions, his possessions possessed him. That's hard to say. But let me ask you a question this morning as I wind down. How bad do you want him? How bad do you want eternal life? Listen, I'm talking about eternal life. How bad do you want that peace that surpasseth all understanding? How bad do you want that joy that only comes from knowing the Lord in a personal way? How bad do you want it? That same Jesus that came to that innkeeper through Mary and Joseph over 2,000 years ago is the same Jesus that's knocking on your heart's door today. And you know what he's saying? I want to be a part of your life this Christmas. I want to be a part of your life this Christmas. In fact, listen, he wants to be your life. He wants to be number one of your life. He wants to be Lord of your life. And if you'll make room for Jesus this Christmas, he'll come in to your life and forever change your life. And you'll have a joy and a peace that you've never known before. The innkeeper, poor thing, I feel sorry for him. He said, no room, no room, no room. Make room. Make room for Jesus this Christmas. I say it just about every Sunday on the Christmas holidays, the greatest gift ever given was the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest. And the greatest gift you can give the Lord back is your life. Your life. What about it this morning? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Invitation's very simple today. If you're here today and doesn't know the Lord in a personal way, would you come today and be saved? I'll pray with you. I'll say a prayer with you, and you can repeat it, and you can ask Jesus to come into your heart and be Lord of your life. Maybe you're here today and just want to come get on this altar and pray for someone. Maybe you're in here today and you walked away from God. You're not as close to God as you once were. You need to come and get it straight today. Would you be obedient? Would you come today? Maybe you're in here today and you've been visiting for some time, and the Lord spoke to your heart today, and you need to join. Would you be obedient? Would you do what God wants you to do this Christmas? He wants you to live for him. He died for you so you could have life. Would you be obedient today? Father, as we come to you today, thank you, Lord, for your word and how it speaks to our hearts today. Lord, I pray that Holy Spirit we just talked about, Lord, would just work on our hearts today. Lord, I pray you'd work on my heart, soften my heart, Lord, that I might be a better person, be a better Christian, be a better husband, dad, pastor. Lord, I just pray that you'd speak to people's hearts today. Lord, if someone in here today needs to come, would you impress it on their heart? In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand together.